Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Osterlund, my last name, is of Swedish descent. I've mentioned that before. And the reason I bring that up is because Sweden has made headlines during the whole coronavirus situation. Their decision on how to deal with coronavirus. They didn't shut anything down. And I've read in different places where Sweden did not shut down their country, their businesses. Many people in Sweden didn't go broke and lose their money like here in the United States. And I've read in different places where Sweden, they handled it better than anybody else. Yet last week, if I'm home, which like most people, I've been a lot. If I'm home at 5:30 in the afternoon and I'm flipping through the television channels, I'll watch one of the national nightly newscasts, whether it's CBS or ABC or whatever. If I'm flipping through, I just to see what the national headlines are. And last week, I believe it was either Wednesday or Thursday, they said it was a big story they had. Sweden's decision to not shut things down and their decision to handle the coronavirus situation has failed. That's what one of the nightly newscasts said. I think it was CBS. And then they had a report. They had a reporter over in Sweden. And they said it failed because more people died of coronavirus in Sweden than their neighboring countries, like Finland and Denmark and Norway. And so they had a reporter over there interviewing a few people saying, yeah, well, some more people died here than our neighboring countries, and they were upset about it. What they didn't say was that pretty much all of the people who died in Sweden were very, very old. They didn't say that. That would have helped the report, and that would have helped viewers decide if they failed or not. So some more very old people died of coronavirus in Sweden, but they didn't shut anything down and people didn't lose money. To me, and I'm not biased because Osterlund is Swedish, is of Swedish descent. I'm not biased. But to me, that's not failing. And to me, that showed me that, again, a part of this is very political.
That's what I was about to ask you. You said by saying that the majority of Swedish deaths were elderly, that would help the report, you know, to see whether they failed or not. But why would the news media give you the option to tell whether they failed or not? Why would they allow you to think for yourselves when they could just tell you what to think?
But when I've been reading, Coleman, in legitimate, valid newspapers or news websites, is that Sweden handled it completely different by not shutting everything down. People didn't go broke. The kids stayed in the schools. And yet a few more really old people died. To me, that's not failing. It sucks that the elderly people, more elderly people died in Sweden than in Norway and in Denmark and in Finland. It sucked, but it didn't tell me it failed. Those people were going to die anyways fairly soon. It sucks that coronavirus is what took them out.
Well, they have to tell you that it failed in our national news so it could prevent people from saying, hey, well, let's do like Sweden did. So they're trying to help stop that because more people are starting to realize what Sweden has done, it sounds kind of okay. They have to stop that before
it worked.
It does.
Compared to what we did and exactly. How many people went broke. But, even in America, what are we at, 140,000 deaths?
Mm-hmm.
What's the percentage of those that are really old people who died? The elderly.
The majority.
What, 60? More than 60%?
Mm-hmm.
More than, and it sucks. And in New York City, really a lot of old people died because their governor took sick people and put them in nursing homes.
Watch out, John. You're going against the narrative.
That is against the narrative. But that tells me it's political, that a big part of this is political. And it's ridiculous. It shouldn't be political.
Last time we talked about anything COVID-related, it was really dealing with the economy, the governor, the mayor. We haven't even talked about like the actual fatality of the virus because that seems to be an afterthought with everything else is going on with it. You know, following the rules, or we're going to have football, this, that, and the other. More people, more concerned.
Yeah, we're going to have football.
But that's the point.
In empty stadiums, but we're going to have football.
The actual fear of the virus itself is subsided. Now the fear is, can we, like, are we going to have our freedoms? Can we open up businesses? Is the mayor and the governor going to get mad at us for not wearing masks? Or are we going to get fined? Or are we going to get sued? Like, the majority of the fear of this whole pandemic is not even based on the actual virus itself.
No.
It's based on consequences about, you know, the rules and regulations and freedoms and limitations and mask wearing and people freaking out.
But when I saw that report on the CBS Evening News last week, Sweden's decision to handle it the way they did has failed. No. Your report is political, is what it is. A few more elderly people died in Sweden. They didn't shut everything down. They shut nothing down. The kids went to school. People went to work. They didn't lose all the money and businesses. Clinton closed down. No, they didn't fail. A few more elderly people died. That's their conclusion of why Sweden's response to this has failed. They were wrong. Coming up on the show, I got a great story. You're going to love this story. We've got the new thing over these last few shows or several shows that we've been doing. We got some good news, too. It's not all gloom and doom and not all bad news. Stay tuned for a real, real good story I'm going to tell you today. And there's a few bad ones as well relating to coronavirus. Like a lot of people on Bourbon Street, they weren't socially distancing and they weren't wearing masks.
It'll be in like Sweden.
Stay tuned. Coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And there's a guy who's making a lot of news. And some people, like you, Coleman, think it's all just to get him more publicity. Some people are saying this is his mental illness that's coming to the forefront. And I'm talking about Kanye West, a guy who, he's a talented musician, even if you're not, I'm not a big fan of his music. I know Coleman, because besides liking rock, you're a big hip hop fan as well.
Mm-hmm.
you're a black guy from New Orleans.
Personally, musically and lyrically and rap wise, Kanye West is a genius. I'm okay with saying that.
Well, he's a, you could say there's no doubt there's a part of him that is a genius. For the, well, he's made millions and millions of dollars. That right there, the fact that he was able to do sex on a fairly regular basis, at least he used to, with Kim Kardashian. Say what you want about her, but she's hot, and she would probably, I mean, you saw the sex tape. She looks like she's fun to have sex with.
Yeah.
I know the man who has sex with her would be having fun because she is hot.
Right.
I don't know how great in bed she is. What an ass. And I'm talking about, well, both of them, but lately, Kanye West, he tweeted several times over the last few days and nights, and mental health experts, doctors, say that you should be worried about him because he's basically having a meltdown. And for the whole world to see, he's having a mental meltdown.
But anybody,
and they say he has mental health issues. He's bipolar. And, you know, there was a time in our country, Coleman,
mm-hmm.
when people acted crazy, you could just say, what a nut. Boy, he's crazy. What a lunatic. And then that was okay. But now with the focus on so many people having mental health issues, you can't just say, well, he's crazy. He's a lunatic. He's a nut. Because now you're not being sensitive to their mental health issues.
It's not that. Like, Kanye, anybody who follows Kanye West's career, this is just Kanye being Kanye. There's nothing new about it. He does this every couple of years or so.
You say every time he's got an album coming out, he does things.
It does suspiciously correlate to whenever he goes on to these tirades or he does something ridiculous. He has like a weird publicity stunt and it just kind of happens. It follows along with his album release dates. But I'm not saying he's not crazy at all. This guy is a little bit off.
He's nuts.
Yeah, yeah. But that's just...
That's part of him.
Yeah, but that's been like that since before. Like anybody who's followed his career, he's always done and said crazy things.
Well, he said recently he was going to run for president.
Yep.
And you know, a lot of Donald Trump supporters want that because if he puts his name on the ballot, it's only going to hurt Joe Biden, take votes away from him, because most black people would be voting for at least statistics say, and that 97% of black people are Democrat, and you can't get 97% of people to agree that the sky is blue. You can't get 97% of people in America to agree on anything. It's incredible how 97% of black people would vote for one guy. But if Kanye West put his name on the ballot, if his name did get on the ballot, it would take away from Joe Biden supporters, it would help Donald Trump. But you're telling me because he wears the Make America Great Again hat, Kanye West,
most black people
don't like that.
Yeah. They like Kanye's music. They'll buy his albums, but they're not supporting him politically. Most black people do not agree with Kanye West in any way, shape, or form when it comes to the politics. So that's not going to...
And Kanye West's ex-father-in-law, well, ex-mother-in-law, well, Caitlyn Jenner, said that, I would like to run with Kanye West. Put my name on as vice president. If Kanye West does run, put my name on the ticket. That would be something. A nut and then no nut. Well, nuts. I'm a fan of Caitlyn Jenner, by the way.
But I think Kanye said he wanted Jay-Z to be his VP. I mean, I know Caitlyn, Bruce, Jenner threw her hat in the ring, but Kanye is looking towards Jay-Z. There was actually
Jay-Z would never do that because his ego is too big to be vice president. Jay-Z would think I should be president. He wouldn't want Kanye West ahead of him. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z has an ego probably bigger than Kanye West.
What's funny about that is two seasons ago on South Park, they did a whole entire season where Caitlyn Jenner was the vice president of the United States. So it's like, it's art imitating life, imitating art. Like, it's coming true if this happens.
So anyways, are you, as someone who has followed Kanye West, because there are people that are concerned about his well-being, mm-hmm. when they're saying we're watching him have a public meltdown, a mental health issue with all of the tweets that he's saying, and he's ripping his family and the Kardashians and all of this. And right. Or do you think this is just another publicity deal?
Here's the breakdown. Yes, Kanye West is publicly losing his mind. But I'm not worried about it because he's done it before and he still has millions of dollars and he still get to sleep with one of the Kardashians. So, he's been having these mental breakdowns way before Kim Kardashian came into his life and he's still well off.
Could you imagine being that crazy but still earning that much money, being that rich, millions and millions of dollars, but you're crazy?
I couldn't imagine it. But I would like to. I would like to be in his position just for a few days to see what it's like. I mean, even though he's having a mental breakdown on Twitter, I would take that if I get to sleep with Kim Kardashian and have a few million dollars in my bank account. But I think that's a...
When we have so many Americans that aren't crazy, that aren't having mental health issues, but they have a tough time making ends meet every month, or they have a tough time making that much money.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but he's been going crazy on Twitter and there are some people who are concerned, saying we are watching a human being mentally collapse publicly and for the whole world to see. He's doing it on Twitter.
Yeah, that's where most people have their mental breakdowns at, though.
Hey, coming up on the show, I've got a great story, a story of hope, and we need stories like this when we see so many negative stories out there going on right now here in the year 2020. You're not going to want to miss this. It's a story of hope, and I got excited just reading it. I can't wait to tell you about it. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar having some scandals, and she's facing an uphill battle to keep her seat in the House of Representatives. She may need a new campaign slogan. Death to America doesn't seem to be working. I'm Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, that song by The Police, Roxanne, one of their most popular songs. It's probably their second most popular song. And I'm a big Police fan. I love The Police. Every Breath You Take is
Stalker song.
The Stalker song, I think, is their most popular song. But I would say Roxanne is their second most popular song. And, you know, that song is about a prostitute. And a couple of songs ago, a few minutes ago, we played Dr. Feelgood by Motley Crue. That song's about a drug dealer, mm-hmm. and that's their most popular song.
Yeah, but
and it shows you the Police. Their most popular song is about a hooker, and Motley Crue's most popular song is about a drug dealer.
But that song raises an interesting question. Would you be able to marry somebody you knew was a prostitute? Like, say, hey, look, I love you. You could cut all the prostitution off. Let's just do the damn thing, and it's you and us. Like, would you be able to trust and marry a former prostitute?
I've yet to marry in my life any woman, Coleman, and I want to get married, and I've had some long-term relationships. I probably not.
Oh, so if you found out that your soulmate was a hooker, you wouldn't say, well...
I'd have to do some more soul-searching. I don't know. I mean, maybe if she was cool.
I've dated a few strippers.
I don't know.
I've dated a few strippers, and I can see myself in a relationship with a stripper, but a full-blown prostitute, right? I'm not really sure.
No, I just thought it was interesting how we played the couple of songs we just played. One of the most popular Police songs ever about a hooker, and the most popular Motley Crue song that we just played about a drug dealer, a dope dealer. It's rock and roll.
All right, well, they got songs about Satan worshipers coming next, sooner or later.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, even during the coronavirus, some things don't change. Listen to this story. Texas high school teaching aide accused of doing sex with three male students. The thing that's incredible about this story, she's not even a teacher yet. She's a teacher's aide. And it's not just one underage male high school student. It's three! A former teaching aide in Texas has been arrested and accused of engaging in sexual activity, doing sex, with three male students ages 17 and under, including one encounter that happened after she put her own young child to bed inside her own home. Ashlyn Faye Bell has been charged with two counts of improper relationship between educator and student and one count of sexual assault of a child stemming from the incidents at her New Boston, Texas home last year. The 24-year-old, and I'm looking at her mugshot, she's attractive. We'll get that up on our website, bayou957.com for you. I always say that about the mugshots. It's not the greatest picture in the world, but you got to realize something about a mugshot. When a young woman has just been arrested and she's got to pose for a mugshot, it's not her best day, and she's not going to smile all pretty for the cameras.
And that's kind of how we judge whether or not the students are victims. We base it on a mugshot. If it's like a 7 or 8, is the student really a victim? But if she's like a 4 or 5, yeah, lock her up, throw her under the jail.
The 24-year-old Coleman worked at a Texas high school in Texarkana, Texas, until this past May 22nd. And she was arrested by police late last month in June. Police say they were tipped off to the misconduct after a teacher at that school reported a conversation she had heard between a group of male students. See, that's the thing. That's what always brings these attractive female teachers down when they get in trouble for doing sex with underage male students in high school. That's what brings them down. I mean, I'd probably be the same way if this happened to me and I was one of the male students underage. I would have a tough time keeping my mouth shut. Just like the teacher, in this case, the teacher's aide had a tough time keeping her legs shut. I would have a tough time keeping my mouth shut. I mean, imagine you're 15, you're 16, and you're doing sex with one of these very attractive teachers, in this case, teacher's aides, who's 24 years old. How are you going to, you're telling me you're not going to, if you're that age, you're not going to be able to, you're going to be able to keep your mouth shut?
I'm not saying that at all. It just,
During interviews with investigators, the 17-year-old male student told police he and the teacher's aide had been communicating over Snapchat during Thanksgiving break and agreed to meet up at a truck stop. This happened during the last Thanksgiving break.
That's Texas for you. A truck stop.
Before coronavirus last Thanksgiving, but and the student
said yes.
The student told cops that the teacher's aide, Ms. Bell, Ashlyn, picked him up, drove him back to her home, put her child, who was sleeping in a car seat, in the back of the vehicle when she picked up the student. So she had to pick up the student. First they meet on Snapchat. Then she says, okay, I got to go pick you up before I bring you to the truck stop. But I got this young child here. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna put my young child in the car seat. At least she's a good mother there. And put the car seat, fasten that car seat in the back of the car. And I'm gonna go pick up my student. Which she did, brought her child back home. And she put the child to bed, then engaged in doing sex with the student.
Yeah, at least you had the decency to put the child to bed first.
Another one of the students was being tutored by her, by the teacher's aide. And she did sex. And then another student who was 16 told the investigators he knew her from her job working at the school library and did sex with her twice last November. And then they engaged in communication over Snapchat, and then... So these three, again, this trend continues. Usually it's a younger, attractive female teacher doing sex with one underage male student. But here it's a younger, attractive teacher's aide doing sex with three students underage in Texas. Boy.
She could have just waited 1 year for the 17-year-old to turn 18. That's all she had to do. Just wait a few months on his birthday. Then it wouldn't be all this nonsense, you know?
Well, Coleman, she couldn't wait. And 24-year-old Texas teacher's aide Ashlyn Fay Bell is the latest in this ongoing. You know, they say the coronavirus is not only an epidemic, it's a pandemic. These young, attractive female teachers getting in trouble for doing sex with underage male high school students. This is a pandemic. Actually, it's not a pandemic yet. It's still an epidemic. But it is an epidemic going around out there. All right, coming up on the show, we're stuck in phase two of reopening the state of Louisiana. Our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, announced yesterday, this sucks for businesses, sucks for us. Hang out the latest details on that coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Coming up next on the show, we're stuck in phase two for at least another couple of weeks. We are stuck in phase two. We'll give you of reopening everything. It totally sucks for businesses, and the crowds on Bourbon Street over the weekend have some people concerned as well. Even though you can't sit at a bar, a lot of the bars are open. People are still going to Bourbon Street, and they're just getting their drinks to go. That's the one way that the bars are trying to hang in there and making some money. We'll give you the details on that coming up next. And by the way, today is July 22nd. Did you know that today, back in 1796, the city of Cleveland was founded?
Cleveland?
Yeah, and now 224 years later, nobody still knows why. But hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we're on Facebook Live right now. Be a part of our radio station on Facebook, Bayou 95.7 Facebook page, and we're doing some Facebook Live and right now. Yesterday, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, announced that we are remaining in phase two for at least two more weeks when it comes to reopening everything here in Louisiana. It totally sucks for business owners and employees of businesses and such. And we're still in phase two because the numbers aren't where they want them to be when it comes to cases of coronavirus. And we're getting all kinds of different numbers. On Monday, a day or two ago, they released a bunch of numbers saying thousands of more have tested positive for coronavirus here in the state of Louisiana. But then they said right at the end of that, if you kept reading, but many of these came from a backlog of cases that weren't reported over the last several weeks. So, and now Saturday night on Bourbon Street here in New Orleans, there were a lot of people hanging out on Bourbon Street and not a lot of masks being worn. And there wasn't a lot of social distancing, even though a lot of the bars aren't allowed to serve you sitting in a bar. But some of the bars on Bourbon Street were serving drinks in to-go cups from their doorway. And a lot of people were enjoying the night that way as well. And again, we're going to have coronavirus here. And not only Louisiana, but all over the country. It's going to be here not only through the rest of this year, calendar year, Coleman, 2020. We're going to have it next year as well into 2021. And we're kind of stuck here now in phase two.
And I'm still confused on what the goalposts are when it comes to what we're trying to accomplish or what the numbers are supposed to be, because I'm hearing different goals at different times, and it seems like we never reach it no matter how much we do, whether it's flattening the curve. Or
I thought we already did flatten the curve. That's why we opened up to phase two. But ever since we got into phase two, a month and a half ago or whenever it was, the numbers of people getting coronavirus keep going up.
Yeah, but that was expected because the more you go out, the more you socialize, the numbers were expected to go up. But then we started looking at the number of deaths that weren't really, you know, going up as much as the number of cases. That's because more people are getting tested. Then it was like, well, now we have to slow the spread to ease the hospital beds and to like to kind of ease the flow of how many people are going to the hospital. So now that seemed to be the thing. But most of the people who get coronavirus now aren't going to the hospital. They don't even know they have it for the most point. So it's like we keep getting these mixed messages, and I'm unclear on what we're supposed to do to get to phase three.
Well, when you see all these numbers, I'm convinced that at least 10 times the amount of people have gotten coronavirus than the numbers show. At least 10 times the amount of people all over the country. But most people, A, didn't know they had it, thought it was the flu, rested for 3 or 4 days, and got better, got over it. But I'm convinced the numbers that we see, I think a lot more people have had it, just didn't know it or didn't go to the hospital.
And now think about the people who may feel like they have symptoms, but they're not going to get tested because they feel like they might lose days from work, or like that Kentucky woman or that Kentucky couple get put on house arrest. So when you hear stories like that, it's like, do I even want to get tested? Because if I do, you know, I might have to stay home, or they might make me quarantine for 14 days and I don't have the time, because money's getting tight now. The economy, like, people have to go to work. They have to make money. They have to pay bills. So now there are people who are afraid to get tested because they don't want to be put in quarantine or self-isolation and not make money.
Well, a bunch of Jefferson Parish business owners got together and they sued our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, over the coronavirus restrictions being shut down and over the mask mandate, making everybody wear a mask that goes into their businesses. What's interesting about the restaurants and such, and look, if they tell us wearing a mask is going to help us get back to, well, kind of normal that we knew it sooner than later, all right, and if they tell us that wearing a mask will stop coronavirus from spreading in 4 to 6 weeks, it'll stop it, sure, all right. But we've been told so many mixed messages about the masks and about what do you believe? Well, look, do these lawsuits that now a bunch of Jefferson Parish business owners are suing our governor because they shut them down? And you know a lot of these businesses, especially the restaurants, Coleman, at least half, if not more, are never going to reopen again. And I know that sounds harsh, But that's a fact. Do you think any of these lawsuits are going to stand up in court? You know, when we first started talking about this, I remember saying, you know, the government can't shut down our businesses. They can't take money out of our pockets. They can't take food off of our families' tables. That's exactly what they're doing. And I said, when this is all said and done, I think lawsuits have a chance because the government can't just come in and shut us down. Well, they've been doing that. And now that there are so many lawsuits getting together and suing the government, and like a bunch of these Jefferson Parish business owners are suing our governor and they're suing the Parish president, Cynthia Lee Shang, I can't see any judge, any court siding with the businesses now because there are so many of them. How are they going to side with the business owners suing the state, suing the parish, and saying, okay, business owners, you win, you win, you win, you win, you win. That's a ton of lawsuits against local government. I can't see judges and courts siding with the businesses against the government. And I guess they're going to say the government is able to use an asterisk saying, oh, yeah, we can shut down your business if this happens or if this happens. And evidently, a pandemic, a virus, is going to be one of those reasons.
I don't know too much about courts, but is there such thing as a no contest where it just they don't even deal with it once it's all over? We're like, look, we're not even going to deal with all these lawsuits. We get it. Look, y'all don't have to wear the mask if y'all don't want to. We're just not going to bother the John Bel Edwards in the state. How about we just call it a draw and everybody just goes back to doing whatever the hell they want to do?
Well, I don't think it's right that the government's allowed to shut down businesses, but evidently during a pandemic, they have that right. Anyways, look, this sucks. If they say wearing the mask is going to get us out of this sooner than later, I'm no fan of it. But now it's a mandate, and now whether you're anywhere in the state of Louisiana and in many most states here in the United States of America, totally sucks.
My theory is the more John Bel Edwards stretches this out, the more people are going to just defy it and say, you know what, I don't care, I'm just going to go out. Because even though we're not moving into phase three after July 24th like we hope, people aren't just going to care anymore. They're just going to go, you know what, I'm tired of being cooped up inside. I'm tired of not living my life. I'm just going to go out anyway. Screw the mandate. Screw the order. I got to live.
Historic times we're living in. They are going to be reading about this in the history books and teaching about all of this that we're living through right now, right at this second in the history books. It totally sucks. I just can't wait for football. And I know they're going to play football in empty stadiums this year. They're going to camp this week and next week. I just can't wait for football. Call me bored because I can't wait to sit down on my couch and watch an actual game, any kind of a sports game, to be honest with you. It's been so long. Hey, coming up next on the show, I've got a happy story. I've got a feel-good, great, happy story. It involves a 93-year-old guy. And what he's doing is absolutely amazing. You're not going to want to miss that. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Skid Row there. And, you know, this is the 30th anniversary of their second CD, Slave to the Grind, which was really good. Heavy, really good stuff. That song that you just heard, I remember you came off their first CD, which is a great CD as well. I put those first two Skid Row records up against anything when it came to the 80s metal, when you're talking about that stuff. But what's interesting is Sebastian Bach, the singer, he left Skid Row a long time ago. Whether they fired him or he quit, they still argue about that. But both Skid Row, the band, which has, I think, two original members, and Sebastian Bach, the singer, was going to take his own band out, and they were both going to do 30th anniversary of the second Skid Row album, Slave to the Grind Tours. They were both going to do them, but with coronavirus and everything, all of that has been shelved. But I really, really enjoy both of those first two Skid Row albums. Really good stuff. Coming up next on the show, I've got a happy feel-good story that involves a 93-year-old guy. I'm not sure he's a Skid Row fan, but it's a great, happy story, and I think you're going to love it Stay tuned for that coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. This is a great story. There's a 93-year-old World War II veteran who is walking 100 miles for a challenge that's going to benefit the World War II Museum right here in New Orleans. And by the way, if you've never been to the World War II Museum, it's maybe I'm biased because my grandfather on my mother's side was in World War II. He was in the European theater. And I've always been a World War II historian nut. And I'm fascinating. I mean, how America and England and some of our, what we did as a country to save not only Europe, but the world from fascism, from Hitler. What we did, what we accomplished is just incredible. And there aren't very many World War II veterans left. There's few and far between. And so when I read this story the other night about a 93-year-old World War II veteran who is walking 100 miles for something that's called the Liberty Road Challenge, and it's going to benefit the World War II Museum here in New Orleans. The hair on the back of my neck stands up. His name is George Bryant. And he's used to traveling hundreds of miles at a time. He was drafted into the Army in 1945. He spent the end of World War II transporting messages as a courier in Austria. And he would walk all over the place. And now he's doing this Liberty Road Challenge. It's sponsored by the World War II Museum and the Crescent City Classic. And it's asking participants to record walking 100 miles between the months of June and September. It started on the anniversary of D-Day. When we dropped on the beaches of Normandy, France, the biggest invasion in the history of the world. And you could do it on your own, or you could get a group of people to do it, and you walk 100 miles. Like I said, it started in the first week of June, the anniversary of the Normandy invasion, and it goes, you've got until September to do it.
I get winded going 100 feet to the snack machine around the corner, man.
Coleman, that's what makes this 93-year-old World War II veteran, George Bryant, who now lives in Wichita Falls, Texas, it makes him so incredible. And he's not able to do it outside right now because of coronavirus, and coronavirus is not cool with 93-year-old people. Coronavirus may have a 98 or 99% recovery rate, but not with guys that are over 90 years old.
I wonder how many people are going to record their 100 miles on a Peloton or whatever it is. Get on a little exercise machine and do the 100 miles that way.
It doesn't matter how they do it, but as long as they do it. And like I said, it goes to a fantastic cause, the World War II Museum. And this 93-year-old World War II veteran who lives in Texas now, George Bryant, he's doing it on one of those indoor machines in his house.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, with coronavirus, he can't go outside. But he's going to get it done. I mean, how many people that are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, they hurt every morning when they get out of bed, just getting out of bed and walk into the bathroom?
Guilty.
Yeah, their body's hurting. But this 93-year-old guy is doing it, and it's just great. And if you've never been to the World War II Museum, I know a lot of people, friends of mine, that live in the New Orleans metropolitan region. Whether they live in Jefferson Parish here in New Orleans, or they live on the North Shore in St. Tammany Parish. And I ask them every once in a while, have you ever been to the World War II Museum? You know, no, I go by it all the time, but do it. It's incredible. And they're always adding to it. They're always making it bigger. It's changing the skyline of the city of New Orleans. You should go. And I'm telling you, a few hours in there, you'll be like, wow, the stuff they have in there. Whether it's the actual one of the helmets that has a hole in it, that the helmet that was worn by one of our troops who was there, who was part of the invasion of the Normandy beaches. The helmet has a bullet hole in it, and it was there. And it just got, I read a couple of notes that were written by American troops who were pinned down while they were invading on D-Day. The notes survived that invasion. They are, the letters that they wrote to their loved ones back home. I don't think I'm going to make it. If anybody gets this, and they wrote that, the soldiers wrote down their names. They are on display at the World War II Museum. There are so many incredible artifacts like that that are on display. You'll have a fantastic time.
Not much has changed. I've seen somebody on Twitter didn't get the right kind of latte from their Starbucks. She didn't think she was going to make it either. So she tweeted, I don't think I can survive the day. What's going to happen to me?
Yeah, this generation today is nothing like the greatest generation back then, Coleman. And I not only go to the World War II Museum, but if you've never watched Band of Brothers, it's a mini series. It's from the book that was written by a former professor at the University of New Orleans. He's no longer with us. His name is Stephen Ambrose, but he wrote the book that became the miniseries that they ran on HBO that Tom Hanks made. Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks were the executive producers. I couldn't recommend watching anything more than the Band of Brothers miniseries, and you can watch that anywhere now. But watch that and go to the World War II Museum. And if you're interested in walking 100 miles, we're still in July in between now and September. That's easy. Go to the website, cccc10k.com. It's what a great thing to do. It's good for you, good exercise. It's for a great cause, the World War II Museum. And just reading about a 93-year-old World War II veteran who is doing this now, George Bryant. Great stuff. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So, football training camps are opening. They're opening this week and next week. I know rookies are all coming into camp. Although here, the Saints, I think they're waiting till next week. But I know most of the NFL this week, the camps are opening. And I'm just so excited. The NFL announced yesterday that all of the preseason games, all of the exhibition games are scrapped. They're not going to have them. And I don't think that's that big of a deal. They just want to cut down on as much risk as possible. We never needed four preseason NFL games as it was, because most of the players, the veterans and such, they only play pretty much in one, maybe one and a half, two games during the preseason. The risk reward just wasn't worth it. You get your players hurt, your star players hurt, that's the biggest risk, and that's always been the biggest risk of preseason. What the NFL originally said this year, they said we'll have two preseason games. The players didn't even want that. And so yesterday they announced we're not even going to have those two preseason games. Again, not the biggest deal in the world. And they're planning on starting the NFL season regularly scheduled time right after Labor Day weekend, the first Thursday night game. The biggest concern, or the biggest, I guess, deal when it comes to the preseason for NFL teams were rookies, guys on the back end of the roster. They're not going to be able to show their stuff during the preseason. Those are the guys that have a chance to make the team. They might not have that chance now to show their what they can do. Again, that's back end of the roster guys and some rookies. But other than that, the NFL, they are planning on going full throttle. Again, the biggest difference this season is they're going to be playing in either completely empty stadiums, and in my opinion, the Superdome is going to be completely empty. That takes away the home field advantage. Because, I mean, think about it. Opening game this year for the Saints at home was going to be Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be much easier for Tom Brady to run the offense with no crowd noise than it would be if the dome was full and the crowd was screaming like they normally are. And you're not going to get the regular dome field advantage that you would get. But they're planning on going, playing football, again, starting right after Labor Day weekend in the NFL. Just the stadiums are going to be empty, or maybe some stadiums might be at 25% capacity.
Plus, it'll be easier for the defense to hear the plays when they're in the huddle, because we know if you're social distance and everybody's 6 feet apart, you have to screen their plays. All right, hook left, and you go right, sweep, front.
Yeah. Could be the offense is going to have to change up their calls and their cadence and their verbiage, the wording that they use when they call plays.
I don't think they're going to social distance during the huddle. I think they're going to huddle up. I'm just saying it'd be kind of ironic if you had to social distance during the huddle.
It's just going to be wild, Coleman. And this past weekend, Drew Brees and other big-name NFL stars got together and they tweeted out their concerns to the NFL. Let's get it together. And the NFL has already reacted to that. They said once camp starts, they're going to be testing for coronavirus every day, every other day, which is interesting because, many Americans have to wait in line in their cars and in different places to get tested. They have to wait for a long time to get their test. But
yeah, didn't like a gorilla get tested before most people did?
Yeah, and I believe a tiger as well. And so they're going to be doing that. And again, it's not like the other sports. Baseball starts tomorrow night. The regular season, the 60-game abbreviated regular season. Again, they're playing in empty stadiums. Basketball, the NBA, they start next week. They're going to restart their season, but they're in a bubble in Tampa. In Orlando, Florida, they're in a bubble where the testing is up the yin-yang and they can't leave the bubble. So what's going to make the NFL different is there's no bubble, even though there's empty stadiums. There's no bubble in... Unlike the NBA and Major League Baseball, there's a lot more physical contact, a lot more hitting in football. And we'll see what happens. What do you think is going to happen? There are going to be players and coaches who are going to test positive. What's going to happen when that happens? I mean, the NFL is trying to figure out what they're going to do. Like when the first player tests positive, they're going to have to separate them from the rest of everybody else and mm-hmm. all the players and coaches. I think the NFL, and I'm a huge football fan, huge sports fan. I think the NFL is going to start, and I can't wait for games. But do you think they're going to make it through the season?
I think they are. Here's why. I've been watching wrestling. Wrestling has not taken the off season yet. They haven't taken a break. They've been performing in arenas with no people. They've been performing in like a performance center, and the wrestlers are making physical contact. They're touching each other, punching each other, kicking each other, whatever. And the ones that do test positive, they're just off TV for 2 weeks. That's it. And they come back.
If you're listening, what do you think is going to happen? The only concern I have, I think they're going to start and they're going to play. My biggest concern is if they're gonna make it through the whole season without having to stop because of coronavirus. That's my biggest concern. There's so much money at stake, but then again, you look around at what happened here in New Orleans and in the state of Louisiana and in states all over America, how businesses had to shut down, and it's crushing some people financially. There is so much money at stake in the NFL with television contracts, with players in their contracts. I mean, most of these guys, they have to play or they're not going to make their big money. And if they don't make their big money, are they going to be able to support their families, to feed their families and things like that? Because if they don't play games, they're not going to get paid.
Right.
And so they want to play. And I know you look at the big money contracts. That's a small percentage. Not the majority of the NFL players. I mean, they all make good money. I mean, some make incredible money. Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, things like that. But most players aren't like that. They want to play. What do you think is going to happen? Text us. Don't text while you're driving, but text us at 260-9595. If you give us a good text, we will read it on the show coming up. And if you want, put your first name or your initials at the end of the text. What do you think is going to happen? My biggest concern is that there's going to have to be a pause at some point during the NFL season if coronavirus starts spreading among the players and the coaches and the personnel and such. What do you think is going to happen? And I know there's a bunch of people down on the NFL right now. What do you think is going to happen? And yeah, for a morale boost, for a shot in the arm, and for people like me that can't imagine a football Saturday without college football in the fall, a football Sunday without NFL football in the fall, my gosh, what do you think is going to happen? Again, 260-9595, give us a text and let us know here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. So NFL training camps are opening this week, and very excited about that. There will be no preseason games because of coronavirus, and they're planning on starting like they normally would right after Labor Day weekend. And I'm fired up. I just hope they can make it through the whole season. My biggest concern is if they play a couple of games or whatever the case may be, and then somebody gets coronavirus, and they have to put the season on pause. That's my biggest concern. I'm asking you, what do you think is going to happen? And I asked you to text us to let us know. What do you got, Coleman?
Michael says, why does football get to start camp but bars are still closed? Essential workers, I guess.
It's a good question, Michael. I think everything should be open. If people are wearing masks, wear masks, but open everything up. If masks help stop it from spreading, people like me, the state's making us all wear masks anyways, so open everything up, damn it. Open everything up. Go ahead.
CJ says, I think the NFL will play a few games but shut down due to the virus and low television ratings.
There are some people who are down on the NFL, but I don't know if that many people are down, especially after not having sports for a long time. I think the television ratings are going to be big.
Billy says wrestling hasn't stopped, so I don't see why football will. They make millions of dollars. They will find a way to keep it going.
All right, Billy. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you for your texts. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. If you ever thought you had a dispute with your neighbor, your next door neighbor, wait till you hear this story. I bet you your dispute never involved a saw in a garage. Wait till you hear this story next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Maine man saws neighbor's garage in half amid boundary dispute. I think many people have had neighbors that they don't get along with.
Guilty. And
some of them, Coleman, can be nightmare situations. Living next to someone or near someone or across the street from someone that you don't get along with. It can be a nightmare. It can make life a living hell. This is incredible. And by the way, I have the picture of this. This guy got a saw and he sawed his next door neighbor's garage in half. And I've got a picture of it. It's on our website at bayou957.com with the story. This is incredible. This happened in Maine, the beautiful state of Maine up there, Dover Foxcroft, Maine.
That's a cool name.
A man who cut his neighbor's garage in half with a sawzall, a saw,
okay.
But a sawzall, S-A-W-Z-A-L-L. Because you can't just cut a garage in half with a saw that you have in your hand. I guess you have to have a sawzall. Well, this Maine man, who cut his neighbor's garage in half with a sawzall, was on friendly terms with the man who built the structure, just not with everyone who lived on the property after he died. Gabriel Braun used a land surveyor's demarcation between the two yards, the two lots, as a guide to remove the half of the building sitting on his land when a dispute over the boundary line boiled over. Tracy Braun said last week that her husband's actions on the day after Memorial Day mark the latest, and they hope the final step of an often contentious relationship between her family, others in the neighborhood, and various inhabitants of that address where the garage is in recent years. They've just had an issue, these neighbors, and that's been going on for a long time. And I guess this one guy's dying wish was, when I go, You cut the next door neighbor's garage in half. You look at this. Coleman, did you see the picture on the website?
I saw it.
That's a perfect cut, too. I mean, well, it looks like they got it down to the inch.
Yeah. He's the guy's demarcation deal. I wonder how neighborly disputes start. Like, you know, if you just move into a neighborhood and there's no reason to judge a person for whatever reason, I wonder how disputes start. I know one of my neighbors doesn't like me because they feel like I don't cut my grass.
You told me that before.
Yeah, so what they do is now... One of my neighbors, if they feel like my grass is getting too high, they will run their lawnmower over like a part of my grass to make it uneven to force me to cut it. So sometimes I'll come home and part of my grass is cut. They're just gonna kind of skim it here, and that would make me have to cut the rest of the grass to make it even.
If I'm you, I would say you can cut a little bit more if you want.
Yeah, they'll want money if I did that. I can't pay them.
No, I'm lucky. I'm knocking on my head right now. Knock on wood. I have never had a serious issue with a neighbor. When I was a kid, I knew some people who had issues with their neighbors, and I said that I never, ever. I had a friend, and I used to go over his house, and you know, go bleep yourself, bleep, and it started like that. Then next thing you know, they're throwing things at each other. Then next thing you know, they're fighting, and it just slowly escalates. And I saw that when I was a kid, and I said, I never want to be in a situation like that. Because when you go home, your home is supposed to be your sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be your place, peace, nothing bad happens. You have a rough day at work, whatever the case may be. You go there, and you have a problem with a neighbor, none of that's the case.
It was easier for me when I lived in an apartment, but now that I live in a home and there's homeowner association rules and stuff, and they worry about property value. So if my lawn is cut a certain way, if they're trying to sell their house, my lawn makes their house look bad. And if I'm working on my car in front of my thing, they'll send the code enforcement people to. It's like, it's weird, dude. Like,
and you would think it would be the other way around. You would think it would be worse in apartments, right, in an apartment when someone's on the other side of the wall or someone's upstairs and you keep hearing noises and you keep hearing all. But no, it was worse for you in a house than in an apartment. Interesting.
Stupid homeowners. It's worse than a VUCA sometimes.
And you're over on the West Bank, too.
Yeah.
How about that? Well, it's a wild story, and you got to see this picture. They did a perfect job cutting the next-door neighbor's garage in half. I mean, it's to the inch. It is perfect.
They get a sawzall.
Yeah, go see that on our website, bayou957.com, if you want to see something pretty amazing. Well, the man up in Maine who sawed his neighbor's garage in half amid the boundary dispute, it's the dumbest thing. And one of the most amazing things I've seen with my eyes all morning here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Last night at a funeral in Chicago, 15 people were shot. At a funeral! It's almost like I went to a shootout and a funeral broke out. And I'm telling you, Chicago is—it's a killing field. It's a war zone, and they want to defund the police. That's one of the places they want to defund the police.
The most amazing thing to me about that story is that there were people that went in to the funeral to shoot the people at the funeral, but the people who were attending the funeral were shooting back. Like they went to the funeral to eulogize whoever, and they had guns on them too, and they were shooting back at the shooters. So they went to the funeral with the guns.
Yeah, you got to. If you go to a funeral there, at least in Chicago, at some funerals, that one, you gotta go heavy. You better pack something or Jesus. 15 people shot at a funeral in Chicago last night. Boy, oh boy. Hey, it's our commercial free ride. We're in it right now here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.